So this is the final lecture of the unit on the endocrine system, and I call it Chemical Signaling, the Details. And I want to talk about cell signaling. And before I begin, this is a very short lecture, and all I'm trying to do in this lecture is give sort of broad brush, overview of cell signaling. Today in biology, in molecular biology, this idea of cell signaling is a really hot topic. There are journals that are just devoted to cell signaling. And, the reason it's important is because this is how cells talk to one another and how they communicate. And it may hold the key to a lot of mysteries in biology. And one of them may be how cancer works. Like, there's many kinds of cancer. We don't really understand cancer as well as we would like. And despite spending billions of dollars over decades, but one of the areas that might really help make a breakthrough, and we don't know, maybe not, could be the understanding of how cells signal to one another. Because if you think about it, what if a cell receives an incorrect signal and it's told to go through mitosis again and again and again without stopping? It gets the wrong signal. It gets its, literally gets its wires crossed or something, as we might say. Perhaps that is one of the reasons cells become cancerous. We don't know. But certainly cell signaling is important in biology. And so let me just sort of go through the basics. Not a lot of nitty-gritty details, just kind of a broad brush overview. First of all, as you can see in my illustration here, it turns out that cells, there will be some kind of signal molecule, as you see in my illustration, and this, so that signal leaves some cell, and then it's received at a cell, and that's the reception event, and there is a receptor, and then the receptor can either be on the surface of the cell, in sort of embedded in the lipid bilayer membrane, right, or that receptor could be inside the cell. But either way, the signal molecule binds with the receptor. And then what happens is called transduction. And transduction is not a word unique to biology. Transduction simply means to change one signal into another kind of signal. In fact, it's a term used in physics quite a bit. And so what we have here, and you can see in the illustration, is what is called a signal transduction pathway. In other words, some signal is received, and then that signal is communicated through a series of different protein molecules, generally, and then eventually the final molecule in the signal transduction pathway will then cause some cellular response. Oftentimes, that could be, let's say, causing the production of proteins in the cell. So it literally tells the DNA, make this protein, or it could do a lot of other things as well. Now, it turns out that for the endocrine system, which is what we've been talking about, that there's two ways messages are received. Now, remember, chemical messengers, otherwise known as hormones, can come in the form of peptides, which are simply proteins, and that's what most hormones are, or they can be amino acids and their derivatives. And one of the things you'll note is that these generally cannot travel across the cell membrane. And if you look at my illustration, you'll see a secretory cell. And so that cell is an endocrine cell. It's releasing a hormone, a chemical messenger, which then gets into the circulatory system and eventually arrives at the receptor molecule of the target cell. And then once it binds to the receptor molecule, in this case, in my illustration here, it's on the surface, that causes a transduction system, which are called secondary messengers. In other words, the primary messenger is the hormone, but then once it binds to the receptor, then it causes a whole series of different secondary messages to be transmitted, and finally, there's some kind of response, a cellular response in the target cell. So it's kind of an overview. On the next slide, we can see what I call communication style number two. And in this example, this is in reference to steroid hormones and thyroid hormones. These hormones can actually travel across the cell membrane. Now, you all know that steroids are lipid-based molecules, right? And so because the membrane is a lipid bilayer, it can go across the membrane. And the receptor is inside the cell, and so the steroid goes across the cell membrane, binds with the receptor, and then that, in this case, initiates protein synthesis. And that causes the cell to make a new protein, and that protein is, you know, causes something to happen, or that, you know, whatever. And so that's sort of the way to look at this. Now, if we looked at this in a little more detail, and that's what I'm showing you in this next slide, is let's just take a look at a steroid hormone in particular. You can see that it crosses the lipid bilayer. It'll bind to a receptor protein that's floating around inside the cytoplasm. Once that binding has occurred, then it will enter the nucleus, and it will literally go to the DNA and go to a particular spot on the DNA and initiate protein synthesis of a particular gene. And then, so messenger RNA is produced. That messenger RNA leaves the nucleus, goes out into the cytoplasm, finds a ribosome, and makes a protein. And then that protein is the end result, and it causes something to happen. Now, that protein can stay in the cell and cause something to happen. That protein could leave the cell. All kinds of things can happen. But that's kind of a way to think about it. Now, for those of you that are really into biology and want to know more, there is a chapter in our book, which I'm not really covering in any formal sense. It's chapter 11, and it deals specifically with cell signaling. And there are there's a really deep discussion of these secondary messengers inside the cell and this whole cascade of transduction that's going on. And the key term you'll hear is G protein. So there's G proteins are ways of internal communication within the cell in terms of the secondary messenger. And you can read all about it. I didn't want to get into the details of that. It's late in the, you know, in the course, and the level of detail that's required to really master this stuff is very nitty-gritty molecular detail. And I think we've done a lot of that already, and I want to kind of move on to sort of broad brushstroke ideas that deal specifically with human physiology. And so I'm not going to cover that chapter. There may, you know, a question or two may appear on the AP bio exam. If you're concerned about that, all you have to do is read chapter 11 on your own. But you could miss the chapter 11 questions on the AP bio exam and get a 5, because 51 of my students did last year, so I'm not too concerned about it. But I can't cover everything in the level of detail that I'd like in this class, and so I've chosen to not really go over chapter 11. But I want to give a full disclosure to all of you, so if you want to know that material, feel free, okay? And that's it for the endocrine system.